WCNO, listener-supported Christian radio for the Palm Beaches and the Treasure Coast.
Now, my dictionary describes this word holy, which in the Hebrew is kadosh. It means cut out, set apart. It means literally it is God says, I am holy. And the word, the concept is mean I'm cut out of your normal paradigm of thinking. I'm so far high above it that there is no comparison, and that you must be holy because I'm holy. So now we are to imitate or to project or to adopt these characteristics of this God that is so far above our human culture. And I read one of my dictionaries gives Kadosh this meaning. It's displaying a morality that is different from the people around you and is of a divine origin. This is what holy means. So now we're adopting God's morality because he is a cut out from this and way above. We are set apart from the morality of this world. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians have understood this set apart to mean we're to separate ourselves from our society and sort of be in our own little enclaves.
Who said to be in the world but not of the world?
Well, that's the whole point.
Who said that?
We forget
that.
Was
it Paul or was it Jesus?
It was one of the epistles, yeah.
Yeah. Come out and be ye separate. Be in the world but not of the world.
But the idea is that we should definitely, as he's writing to his friends in Corinth, he said, what you just quoted, I didn't mean to separate yourself, because obviously how are you going to reach people if you're separating yourself and not with them?
How are you going to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, or visit people in prisons?
Right. So how are you going to do that? So we are called to live according to a different morality.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you see Egyptian culture, you see in the tomb paintings, you see the priest or the men, and they have their hair cut, shaved real much on the side right here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what God is saying, don't look like them. But also part of their rituals for their worship and the worship of the dead was they would cut themselves and make marks on their body.
Isn't that weird? Because in our generation, nobody cut themselves. But, you know, the kids, your kids, that generation, kids, where'd they come up with this thing of cutting themselves when they were in pain? I think it was demonic, personally.
Well, it is demonic.
Yeah.
But the commandment here is don't act and look like the Egyptians or the Canaanites.
Don't
act
walk like an Egyptian.
Yeah, look, act like me. And so...
Yeah. And also, on the other side, you've got Christians that read this stuff and then get cock-a-doodle-doo or puffed up thinking that they're holy. And I remember God admonishing me, you know, sometimes he'll speak to me through a word, and I forget where I read this. It said, you have seen God, ostensibly. Now, I have not seen him, but he understand in the spiritual realm, I was birthed into seeing him and knowing him. So why are you judging someone who doesn't know that? They're walking in the darkness. You wouldn't yell at a blind man, hey, stupid, what are you doing? No, he's blind. So you go up and you help him, you know? And so this also, because a lot of Christians, they do have a miraculous encounter, and suddenly they get real cock-a-doodle-doo, and the fire and brimstone, you're going to hell, and I'm not, and I'm righteous, and you have to go. I tell these Christians, I say, wait a second, your only righteousness is the blood of Jesus Christ. You did not earn this.
Right.
It's not your righteousness. It's his righteousness. Maybe that ought to humble you a little bit, you know?
Well, the point here, I think, in God's commandment was the Egyptians were making cuts and marks on their body in the worship of the dead, and he said, don't look
like them, yeah.
So if I want to obey the commandment that's given here in Leviticus 19, then I'm going to never trim my beard, so I'm going to have a ZZ top.
So that's why the Hasidic Jews look so frumpy to today. They don't trim it, you know. It's like
I would, you know the band ZZ Top? Okay, I would have a beard like.
Now the kids listening to this may not know. They were guys that had these big two brothers that had these big long beards.
Okay, I would look like Dusty or the other guitar player.
Yeah.
Religious Jews. You notice they don't cut the hair in this right above their
sideburns.
They
have the Davidic curls,
and they
right?
Well, they have curls, and the curls are there. You know why the curls are there?
Why?
Because if you're a good student of the in the yeshiva, you study and you sit and you're doing this while you're studying, and the more that you're curling, kind of running your finger and curling these, they become curls. So
I did that when I was younger, but then I would go down and actually have a bald spot because it would fall out. And then I read that that's a psychological problem that you have if you're nervous underneath the skin, you know?
Well, what I've seen when I've been at the Kotel, which is the Western Wall.
The Kotel?
Yeah, it's that plaza that where the Western Wall is in Jerusalem.
I've been to the Western Wall.
There's a restroom there, and whenever there's like a bar mitzvah or some ceremony going on, the religious Jewish men, especially the young guys, are in the bathroom, and they have their curling iron, and they've got some sort of dippity-doo or something.
Do they really?
And they're curling those forelocks, so the curls are like this cylinder or this column of hair that comes out, because they want to. They want to be in obedience to this law here. I think really this is what God is saying, Rhett, to the Hebrew people. He says, don't be like the Egyptians or the Canaanites because their standards of morality and their behavior is just corrupt. God says, I will show you how to live lives that are satisfying, that are productive for now and even for eternity. Just follow my directives. The principles behind them are everlasting because they originate from me.
Yeah.
Okay.
But mankind being so arrogant, they think they have a better way. If I could tell anything to young people today, I just look around and I go, because I'm one of the dummies that had to go through everything to learn. I don't learn by listening. Hopefully, and maybe now I do as an older man. But I would say this, listen. You're going to have a much better life if you do it God's way.
Of course.
You don't need a big lonely mansion. Have a family, even if you have to live in a little house filled with a lot of love. I promise you, God's ways are the way to go.
Okay. But let's get back to tattoos.
When
pastors tell you that if you have a tattoo, you're going to hell, I think he's missing the point.
Yeah, he's missing the
point. He's missing because...
That was then, this is now.
Well, right. So if I'm looking at that passage in Leviticus 19... The question is, what is the principle behind it?
And so you don't look like the Egyptians. Come out and be separate.
Don't act like them. Don't think like them. Don't even look like them. Now,
they were worshiping devils, too.
I was on a cruise back in 2004, and the staff of the cruise ship was mostly from India. And we sat at a table, same table, had the same waiter every night. Our waiter was a guy named Geronimo. Now, isn't that an interesting name for a guy from India?
Yeah.
So I started thinking about that. I thought, where did he get that name? And then it came to me.
Perhaps, Bollywood. I want to tell it from Bollywood, probably.
Probably he was from a Portuguese colony in the south that was centered around the city of Goa, that he would get a name like Geronimo. Okay? So the next night I said, Geronimo, are you by chance from Goa? He said, well, yes, I am. And then I asked him the trick question. I said, are you Hindu or are you Muslim? And he took off his white glove and he put it down on the table between my son Lucas and I. And right on that space between his thumb and his forefinger was a cross that was tattooed. He said, no, I'm Christian. And then I asked him, I said, do all Christians have that mark on their hand? And he said, that's what makes us Christian.
Oh.
So in Geronimo's culture, having a tattoo is what actually identifies him as a follower of Jesus. Okay? So here we have pastors in America telling people if they have a tattoo, they're going to hell. But in Goa, in the Christian community there, if you don't have a tattoo, you're going to hell.
No, isn't Geronimo a name you used for American Indians?
Well, how did the American Indian get the name? Obviously from some Spanish culture influence.
Yeah.
That was my connecting point. So
Geronimo.
So I was telling this story to a friend of mine from Czechoslovakia that came, Czech Republic, that came to Maui, and he became part of our church, a guy named Marek, and he had a big eagle tattooed on his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day we were driving down to Kihei to Hope Chapel for a men's meeting Bible study. And Marek said, hey, Mike, what's the Bible say about tattoos? He's a brand new Christian.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I told him kind of the discussion we just had.
Yeah.
And he said, well, so the Egyptians were making marks, worshiping the god of the dead, the gods of the dead. And okay, so it's okay to have tattoos. Is that what the teaching is? I says, yeah, Marek, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I said, by the way, what's that big eagle that's on your right shoulder there? He said, it's the Egyptian god of the dead.
Oh, bro.
And I said, Marek, you're definitely going to hell. And he's driving along, and he pulled off on the curb. He almost went off the road. We started laughing so hard, okay? But this is, I think, the conflict, Brett, is we take things out in the Bible out of their context, and we try to apply them to our 21st century life. And sometimes we come up with very strange commandments.
We think that we're going to make it by our own virtue. And, you know, it's just like the disciples were with Jesus one morning, and they're sitting on the ground and they're eating. And up come the Pharisees with the beautiful white robes, and they called him Rabbi. And so they honored Jesus by calling him Rabbi. They said, Rabbi, your disciples are eating with unclean hands. And Jesus looks up and goes, you follow the precepts of man, not God. For what goes into a man's mouth and comes out does not defile him, but what comes out of his mouth defiles him. And so, you know, that's man's attempt. We've got to be very careful about our attempt to be religious and think we're going to get in by our behavior, by our goodness, by our acting holy.
Right, and I think the problem comes from, Red, is we're trying to obey the letter of the law without understanding the principle behind it.
Right. Okay. Love is the litmus test, right?
Like for example.
Did you feed me? Did you clothe me? Did you visit me in prison, man? You know?
I work in a culture on the Coco River in Honduras and Nicaragua, Mosquito culture, Mosquito Indians. They
yes.
speak their own language. It's an indigenous culture. Christianity first came to this region in 1928. A Moravian pastor, Reichert Watson, came up from the coast, and he started a school in Wasla, and he started a church. This is like 1928.
Wow. So the year my mom was born.
The Moravians and were followed by the Catholics,
mm-hmm.
and they came to the Coco River.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mosquitoes pretty much accepted Jesus into their realm of spirituality. He was just another spirit.
Hmm.
Our challenge has been to really help them understand that he's way above all those other.
Are they the ones that killed Mr. Elliot?
Oh, no, that's in Ecuador. This
okay.
is in
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for a new day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
Thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleasing and I'm never alone. You're a good to I am, to I am, to I am.